here at Sycamore Glen, we actually like to think of ourselves as a senior resort.
Every day is just like home. It is home. I love it here.
We encourage people to come down and visit us and to take a tour, to look around, to have lunch on us or dinner on us and experience Sycamore Glen. Not the lifestyle you need, but the lifestyle you've earned.
That's Sycamore Glen. For more information, call 894-0384.
Good morning, listeners. Welcome to Christ Today on KKXX. This morning we have Vince Haney with us, and he is a part of the Christ Today show. We are lucky to have him here. It's a blessing to have him on Christ Today. Vince, good morning. Would you like to bring us into our show with a word of prayer, please?
Yes, yes. How long do I have? I'm just playing around. Well, Father God, I thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to be a part of this day that you have made. We declare we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Think through our minds, speak through our vocal cords as we communicate the gospel, as we communicate Christ today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. There's so many wonderful things happening in the body of Christ today, and one of them is we have activity with other people, and right now on the radio show, we have an interaction with our listeners, and what a blessing it is. We communicate Christ and his love for people. Tell me about things that the body of Christ and with the ministry that you're involved with.
Well, that could take a long. How long is the show? The show is 1 hour, right? I'm going to go right to it. I got born again in the year 2000. Well, actually, God revealed himself to me. I had a God encounter in 1999. So by 2000 or latter 1999, I'm studying the Bible. And I ran across a scripture in Romans chapter 8, around verse 10, about salvation, about getting saved. So I tell people all the time, I didn't get saved in a traditional church service at the altar. I didn't answer the altar call. I was studying the word in my privacy of my own home, in my bedroom, on my bed. And I came across the scripture in Romans chapter 8. It says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, that God sent him, and that he died, and God rose him from the dead, you'll be saved. And I said, yes, I do. I declared that I do believe that, and I'm saying it with my mouth. And upon that confession of faith, I understand that we're saved. And, you know, and obviously we follow up with water baptism, and then you follow it up with discipleship. So, you know, my journey began 1999, and I'm still walking by faith. I'm still following the Lord. Went to neighborhood church for 9 years right after I got born again. God led my wife and I to neighborhood church. Stayed there for 9 years faithfully, strict tithers. We were there every Sunday. I was just telling somebody the other day that I've been saved for 16 years, and I don't think I missed a Sunday service.
Wow.
Yeah. Because Scripture says in Matthew 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. So when God revealed itself to me when I had my God encounter in late 1998, I just been chasing him. I've been a God chaser since then. And then as I was chasing him, he started revealing stuff to me. Scripture says the goodness of the Lord leads one to repentance. Repentance is starting to think like God.
Yeah.
Because the penthouse is located at the top. Re means to go back. Jesus came to reestablish what Adam, the first Adam, messed up, because Jesus is called the last Adam. I just kept drawing near to God, and, you know, and he kept on revealing things to me. And we were just talking for the broadcast. We understand that the Word of God says over in Jeremiah, I knew you before you was formed in your mother's womb. I know the plans that I have for you. Their plans are good and not evil, to give you a hope in the future. And also say in Ephesians, he says, we were predestined before the foundations of the world. So I tell people this, God already knew you were going to be on earth. We were talking before the broadcast about divine encounters, how us meeting is not a coincidence. And we knew our paths had to cross. God is the greatest chess player. He makes moves, and he's the smartest one, too. So he knew us before the foundation of the world. He knew us before we was born in our mother's womb, and he knew what he had planned for our lives. And the scriptures say, in the day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Meaning, don't have a hard heart. Go ahead and receive. It's like when the phone rings, go ahead and answer that call. So, again, when I had my God encounter, I basically answered the call. And I'll start letting him speak to me. And one way God will speak to you is through that still small voice. And he also speaks to you through his word. So I started studying the word, and God started speaking to me, and he started revealing deep things to me. And he started giving me a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, meaning he started giving me the gift of revelation, of understanding the word. It's like Jesus said, when he was 12 in the temple, he was studying with the elders, and they said, wow, this young guy has wisdom. Well, basically, it's God's spirit teaching you. And God still does that today. He's not limited to our intellect or what we remember. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways higher than ours.
That's right.
So God was working on his plan and his purpose for my life. As I kept drawing near to him, he kept drawing near to me with truth. And his word is the truth and revelation. So he started giving me understanding of the scriptures at an early age. I tell people, I've been saved for 16 years, so I tell people I'm only 16 in Christ years.
True enough.
Because I got born again in 99, 2000. So I'm 16, and he redeems the time. Mm-hmm. So, God just started revealing stuff to me. And again, we went to neighborhood church right after I got saved around the year 2000, 2001, and we stayed there. We were members of the ministry. We got behind the pastor's vision. We were part of the ministry. You know, we did small groups. We were on the greeters ministry. We greeted people at the front door, first touch ministries. We got involved in the drama ministry. We got involved. My wife helped start the neighborhood church gospel choir. So we got involved in the ministry. And again, us going to that church was obedient as well, that particular congregation. That was out of obedience because we were African Americans. And when we were invited there by a dear friend, my son's basketball coach, and we got there, we showed up, it was 99% white people. And we were African American. We like, well, see, had we linked to our own understanding, we wouldn't have went there. That would have been disobedient. But we understood that God divinely, remember, there's no coincidence.
No coincidence, right.
He divinely led us there. And we understood that after a while, after probably the first year, we really understood that. Now, mind you, we were there for 9 whole years, full years, every Sunday, part of the ministry. But after probably the third year, we became members. We knew for real, you know, this is where we're supposed to be. So we went through the new membership course and became registered members, so to speak. So, 9 years there, and probably the eighth year, 2008. We started there probably 2000, 2001, 2008. And I knew this all along. I got to backtrack again. When I first had a God encounter, probably the first or second year, God was revealing to me because his word was in me. I wasn't ashamed of the gospel, like Paul said. Everywhere I would go, and I wasn't trying to be religious or all churchy, the joy of the Lord was just coming out of me. So when I encountered people, you know, the word came out of me. I guess the scripture said the word became flesh.
Exuberantly,
it came out of me. So when I would encounter people, and then some of the guys I hung out with, which was in a different culture, I would talk about God things to them or things that God done in my life to them, and they were saying, you know, I was crazy. You know, because they knew what my past was. So they were like, hey, this guy, you know, claimed he had this God encounter, and now he's, you know, doing things that he didn't used to do, studying the Bible, going to church services, and he's coming in our midst talking about God. So that didn't sit well with them. And the scripture says, you know, men love the darkness.
True enough.
You're in darkness, you want to stay there. So some light show up. If you love the deeds you're doing in the dark, you don't want no light shining on
That's
you.
That's right.
You can ask any burglar that. They're breaking in the house. They don't want nobody coming there with no light, especially the popo, the police. So anyway, I just kept moving forward, learning about God and drawing near to him. And he was drawing near to me with wisdom and revelation. He was just revealing things to me. And all the things he was revealing to me, it wasn't religious things. You know, as I say, religious bondage, it was about freedom. Freedom. Remember, my first God encounter wasn't in a church service.
Right.
It was a situation where my back was against the wall, and I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me. There's a scripture, mm-hmm. I believe in Jeremiah 33, it says, you know, I called upon the Lord, and he answered me. And that's my testimony. Yes. I was in a situation where I was like drowning, if you can picture that, and I cried out for a lifesaver. And Jesus, the lifesaver, he stretched out he reached out his outstretched hand, and he showed himself mighty in my life, mm-hmm. and to the point where I couldn't deny the miracle that was done in my life. Reminds me of the guy that Jesus healed, the blind guy, and the religious people didn't want anybody to go and give Jesus any glory, and they told the boy's parents, if you go around talking about Jesus healed him, we're going to kick you out the synagogue. So they were, you know, fearful. Nobody didn't want to get kicked out the synagogue. That's religion for you.
Yeah.
And so the boy had to testify, you know, it was an obvious miracle. Everybody in the town knew he was blind from birth, and all of a sudden he can see. And so, again, the religious leaders commanded his parents not to give Jesus no glory. Don't even testify of him. But they wanted, so she said, well, we ain't going to do it. Well, ask the boy what happened.
I remember, yeah.
And he said, well, you know, he in front of the Sanhedrin or whoever they are, mm-hmm. the religious mm-hmm. leaders, the Sadducees. Yeah, they Sadducee. They were, and he just said, well, all I know is I was blind, but now I see. And again, that was my testimony. All I knew is I was blind, walking around with blinds on, but now I see, meaning I got some revelation. I got the light. Mm-hmm. The scripture says the entrance of his word bringeth light. Mm-hmm. So I got illuminated. From that illumination, I could see clearly, and I could see things that I didn't see before. You know, so God, that's what he does. He enlightens you. He empowers your spirit to see. Remember I said, just for the broadcast, we're spirits having a natural experience here on earth. Because we're really spirits in a body.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and God started revealing stuff to me. And again, and this is not religious stuff. It's spiritual stuff. Remember the scripture says in Corinthians, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. He didn't say nothing about religious. So God revealed that to me. And again, we kept moving forward to neighborhood church. And again, I wanted to say God revealed to me earlier, you know, what he had planned for my life, because I was on fire for God. After the God encounter, I wasn't ashamed of the gospel. And I remember this young lady, Sister Dee Dee. She went to my wife's church before we went to neighborhood church. She used to always say, you're going to be a pastor. You sound like Creflo Dollar. I was like, Creflo who? She said, you're going to be a pastor. And blessed be Dee Dee's heart. She's not with us anymore. But she would always say that. And I was like, why does this lady keep telling me this? You know, I don't want to be a pastor. I ain't career pathing myself for that. I had other plans for my life. But I realized later, God has plans for your life too. But again, nevertheless, not my will, but his will. I came to that understanding. So I was always running from that particular call, that call. That was the purpose for my life. God had planned for me for the foundations of the world. So I was kind of running from that. And when she would say that, I really didn't like it or appreciate it. And God was, you know, he was just speaking to me constantly. And probably like 7 years later, that's a number of perfection, seven.
Yes.
Yeah. 7 years later, you know, and I kind of knew that deep down in my spirit that God wanted me to preach and teach the gospel, basically teach, because we have a teaching anointing, our ministry, which is Rhema Word of Faith Empowerment Ministries, the Word Church.
Is here in Chico?
Yeah, here in Chico, California, 574 East 12th Street. Uh-huh. We're a Bible teaching ministry.
Yeah.
And God placed other teachers in my life to teach me. He put guys like Fred Price. I really got to meet Creflo Dollar, Bill Winston, mm-hmm. Kenneth Copeland, Paula White. He put a lot of what I refer to as the generals of faith. Mm-hmm. He put all of them in my life through, you know, Christian television, and I met a lot of them physically. So he put them in my life to help build me up and teach me, because everybody has to be taught. You know, Holy Spirit is the true teacher, but he's going to put, God uses people as well.
Yeah.
So he used these people to build me up. And I kind of knew God was wanting to do something in my life as it related to ministry. And again, I kept running. So probably 7 years later, as I was saying earlier, my wife, the woman that God gave me. And we had been together for 20-something years. Actually, been together for 27 years now, married.
Yeah.
And she told me, probably 7 years after I got saved. Remember, I'm only 7 years in Christ. Mm-hmm. But God had me on an accelerated rate as it related to a revelation knowledge. He just had me. I was understanding scripture, and he was downloading stuff to me at an accelerated rate. Because, one, I had learned about the biblical principle of meditation, you know, meditating on the word. And meditation brings revelation. It takes you from information to revelation, from logos to rhema, hence rhema, word of faith. But anyway, so my wife tells me, my wife tells me one day, she said, I believe God's calling you to ministry events. And I just responded, I know, I've been running. I know. And right there when she confirmed it, because God will speak to your spouse, to you. He'll use other people, remember? He'll speak to your spouse to give you a message.
That's right.
And my wife had never said that to me before in all of our years, you know, my 7 years of being saved. So when she said it, I knew it came from the Lord. I knew she was a devout woman. She was a Proverbs 31 woman. I knew that. She was a virtuous woman. She still is. Mm-hmm. So I understood that he was speaking through her to give me that message. And I received it. Mm-hmm. I received the call on my life. Get it, the call? I received the call graciously. And I started moving towards that call. And we were at neighborhood church at the time. And so we went to the pastor, told the pastor, you know, what we believe the call on our life is. And he agreed. He said, I believe, you know, God's calling you to the ministry because I've been watching you over the last 7, 8 years here. And we started moving heading towards that direction. And again, this is what I know about the enemy. Satan always wants to abort the plan of God. That's where we get the word abortion at. Jesus said he came in John 10:10. Jesus said he came the thief. Jesus referenced Satan as the thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So in that process of me accepting the call and I'm moving forward, Satan started throwing roadblocks in a way. He was trying to abort the call. But again, I'm a Bible student and I understood we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And I understood that the only fight I was supposed to fight was the good fight of faith. Mm-hmm. I got to fulfill the purpose and call on my life. So I just pressed through all of that adversity, and boom, here I am today. Here I am today. But even that, and I got to tell you, we're located at 574 East 12th Street here in Chico, California. We just celebrated 6 years of ministry.
Ooh.
And again, we just, and God told us to leave neighborhood church at this particular time. It was in 2008. He said, in this month, August, don't attend anymore. I want you guys to start this church, and I'm going to lead and guide you. I don't want you to be a part of a denomination. I just want you to go and trust me. Now, all these years, I'm having this fellowship with God all these years previous, so I'm learning to trust him. I'm learning kingdom principles. I'm learning the culture of the kingdom. And I understand that we walk by faith, not by sight, not by what the circumstances says. We walk by what God's word says, especially his still small voice. So, and we got, I mean, we got to trust him. So when you hear him tell you to do something, just, you got to act on it because obedience is better than sacrifice. So
Amen.
We understood he was, and at the time I was working at neighborhood church too, that last year there on the custodian staff. And God said, well, I want you to quit the job and you guys aren't to go here no more. You're supposed to start a ministry. Now he didn't give us a roadmap or anything. He just told us to trust him to start the ministry. So I'm saying, okay, I'll roll with that, Lord. And I knew a lot of other ministries and pastors around town because I endeavor to keep the unity. I know the scripture says, you know, he loves us to dwell together in unity. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Yes.
So I understood that and always endeavored to do that. So with endeavoring in unity, I knew a lot of other startup churches started. They used the Holiday Inn conference room. So I'm like, hey, I'm using my own understanding. I'll just go to Holiday Inn and ask them, can we rent a conference room for a church service? So I go over there. I tell my wife I'm going over there. I go over there. The guy shows me a room, probably about the size of the studio. And he said, I'll give you this room for $100 a week, a Sunday, you can use for your services. And I looked at it. And you know what? It just didn't bear witness with my spirit.
Yeah.
It didn't feel right. It just didn't bear witness at all. So I went back home. You know, I shook his hand. Thanks for showing me the facility. Went back home and I told my wife. I saw the place and it didn't bear witness with my spirit. And you know what she said, John?
Please tell me.
She said, well, let's pray and ask God to lead us where he wants us in this city.
Always a good thing.
Because he had revealed to us also that we were supposed to stay in Chico. Because at the time, we were having some other financial calamity. And we wanted to flee Chico and go to Atlanta, the black Mecca.
Wow.
And God was like, we prayed about that. Prayer, consecration, dedication. That means, God, should we stay or should we go? He revealed to us we're supposed to stay here in Chico and start the ministry. Well, that's when I went to the Holiday Inn. So when I told my wife it didn't bear witness with my spirit to little room they showed me for $100 a Sunday. She said, well, let's pray. And we got down right on our knees right there in that little apartment we was living in, and we prayed. We prayed a prayer of consecration, dedication, meaning, God, you tell us where you show us where we're supposed to go and make it clear in this city. You lead us to the place that we're supposed to have services at. And we finished praying, and we declare we believe we receive what we pray for. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. So probably less than a week later, I'm working for a company that deliver packages, and I'm driving, delivering packages, and my delivery area was downtown Chico area, Forest Ranch, and some of the Chapmantown community. Part of that was my delivery area. So one morning, I don't know what day, it was a weekday, I'm doing my regular delivery service, probably less than a week after we prayed, and I'm driving through Chapmantown. Now, I got to back up. When I was at neighborhood church, I would always ask them, the ministry leadership, do you guys do any outreach in Chapmantown?
Interesting, yeah.
And they would always brush me off. Nobody would ever give me an answer. And I knew they did, and I just wanted somebody to, you know, cop to it. And I knew it because I worked there in the evenings, and I used to see the children's ministry. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't diverse. And I knew Chapmantown was the most diverse community in Chico. I knew it was stigmatized, disenfranchised for whatever reason. And I knew it was overlooked because it said the jurisdiction was county and city. I knew it was overlooked. And also, when we moved to Chico in 1992, our kids went to Chapman Elementary, my son and my daughter. My daughter's 21. My son's 25. They went to Chapman Elementary from kindergarten to the sixth grade, and they were star students. So I knew the stigma of the community, most of it was a lie about the people there. And again, so, you know, faith comes by hearing, whether positive or negative. So people probably at that particular congregation heard a lot of negative stuff, and they didn't want to go witness to that particular demographic. I had a heart for the community, and guess what? God really does know your heart. He really knows what's in your heart. We can fool people, but you can't fool him. I was reading in Acts chapter 2 this morning, and he was saying that God knew their hearts. He knows what's in your heart, and he really does. He searched the hearts of men. And so he knew that was my heart for that particular community, and I love people. I love diversity. Oh, man, God. Mm-hmm. The Bible says in Acts 10, from one blood he made all nations, all ethnos of people. God created people, and there's so many different cultures and nationalities of people on the earth, and God wants them all to be saved. I understood that.
Remember, as
I studied the Bible, I was getting understanding. I know he so loved the world, and he desires that no man should perish, but all may have eternal life. That's God's will, and he wants it done here on earth as it is in heaven. So I knew that. So I would always ask them about outreach, and they would always, you know, change the subject. So in the fullness of time, God was actually, remember, because he knows all from the beginning to the end, from the beginning. He was setting me up pretty much. Because also, the lifestyle, remember I tell you I was living, that was a little like, I was a part of the underground economy. I had a rocky road. A lot of the dirt I did and stuff I did was in that community as well. So guess who God's going to send back there now?
Somebody who's familiar with it.
Yeah, to go evangelize it and plant the new Garden of Eden there too. So anyway, I'm driving through Chapmantown doing my delivery service for this delivery company after my wife and I had prayed, probably less than a week. And nobody's in the van. It's just me in packages. And I'm in a full-size Ford Econoline cargo van, just boxes and packages. And I'm driving through down 12th Street in the 500 block, and I hear this voice say, there's your building right there. And it's that still, small voice. And I've heard the voice before. My first God encounter, I heard that voice. So I knew it. Remember, Jesus said, my sheep hear me. They know my voice. And of a voice of a stranger, they will not follow. Well, that wasn't a strange voice. And when I heard it say, that's your building, I didn't dismiss the voice. I didn't keep going. You know what I did? I bust a U-turn right there on the spot and parked in front of the building where he told me that was my building. I looked over and I saw this building that looked like a church building. Actually, it used to be a kingdom hall. So it was in a building to assembly. So I pulls right there and I get out. It's about 9 o'clock in the morning. I get out and I open the big church door, and there it was, two ladies sitting there. They were talking, and I peeked my head in because, you know, I just hear this voice, and obedience is better than sacrifice. I heard that's your building. Well, let me go peep in here. Two ladies are in there talking, and I said, hey, peep my head in the door. Hey, do you rent this building out? And she said, yes, I do. But I'm in a meeting. Call me later. Here's my card. So I got back in my van. And I called my wife. I said, Keisha, Guess what happened? I was driving through Chapmantown, and I heard this voice say, "There's your building." And I turned and looked to the left, and there was a building there. Church looks like a church building. I didn't know what it was. It looked like a church building. And she said, "Well, praise the Lord." And then I finished my delivery route, finished my assignment for the day, and I couldn't wait to give her a call. And later on that day, probably 2 or 3 o'clock, I gave her a call. And I basically told her just what I'm telling you, John, and the listening audience. You know, in a nutshell, I gave her a little bit of my testimony, you know, going to neighborhood church for 9 years.
Yeah.
Went somewhere else, didn't bear witness with me. My wife and I prayed and believed God was going to lead us to where he wanted us here in Chico, because he told us to start the ministry in Chico. And also, he gave us the name for the ministry as well.
Oh.
That's a whole nother story. God will direct your path if you allow him. So anyway, I tell her all of this, and she said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Yes, oh, really?" And she paused for a minute, and she said, "Well, you know what? I believe I'm supposed to give you this building for your Sunday services." I said, "Well, all right then." She said, "I usually charge X amount of dollars." I ain't going to say the amount. She said, "But I don't think I'm supposed to charge you that." I'm like, "Praise the Lord, because we don't have any money." Remember, God told us just to go. We don't have any money. He didn't give us no money or a roadmap. So she said, "I usually charge X amount of dollars, but I don't think I'm supposed to charge you that." I said, "Well, all right." She said, "I'm going to charge you this," which is right in our budget.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's what I said. And then she said, I usually charge a deposit, but I don't think I'm supposed to charge you one." I didn't have a deposit. And I say, "Well, praise the Lord then." And she said, "You know what? A matter of fact," she said, "meet me over there in about 30 minutes at the facility, and we'll sign the lease, and I'll give you the key to the facility."
Interesting.
And then she said, "Oh, one more thing. If nobody shows up for your Sunday services, you don't even have to pay."
Wow.
It's free. I was like, "Praise the Lord." Now, see, that's the seek ye first. We prayed.
Yes.
That's the Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. See, previously my understanding told me go to Holiday Inn because a lot of other startup churches went there. And I got there, didn't bear witness. Yep. Then I sought him first by praying. "By prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God." Mm-hmm. That's in Philippians. God wants you to fellowship with him. He wants you to commune with him. Talk to him about the situation. He said, "Talk to me and I'll lead you." And that's what he did. So he just confirmed the word again. And God loves to confirm his word with miracles, signs, and wonders.
And wonders.
And he did that. Yep. So, okay, we get to the facility 574.
Let's continue this after a break. We'll take a short break. Listeners, we'll be right back. We're listening to Christ Today, and we'll be right back.
Thank you. I didn't know you guys had commercials.
Yeah, we've got two commercial breaks.
That's a pretty good interview.
Great.
I never really interviewed with anybody at this extent to talk about all of that, to lead up to how we started the ministry. And that was it. So thank you.
Whew, it's good to do that.
Yeah. I'm going to need a copy of this broadcast. Really, because that's how it's happened, John. I'm telling you. And I didn't go into, you know, my testimony, how God really encountered me, because that was the drug on. And that was...
Yeah,
no, it was just a supernatural experience.
I think we're doing great. Mm-hmm. I like how we're covering the points, and I'm going to ask you one.
Yeah, jump in anytime and say
how we how you hear the voice of God.
Okay, well, it just happens. Now, I don't have a.
No, not that you have a direct
A plus
line,
B plus C equals hear voice of God.
No, it's not a formula, but there's something. How do you discern the voice of God?
You can do that. I got an answer for that.
Okay, let's continue with this one now. Listeners, welcome back to Christ Today on KKXX. You are here with Vince Haney, and he is explaining about how his walk with Christ has gone and the beginnings of his church. So, Vince, can you tell us, please, how that did get finished up so that you had a church place to go, a church home?
Well, like I say, after getting the key, I think we were starting our first service. We started in August 29th. 2008, 6 years ago, a Sunday. And we understood once the owner, you know, favored us, God used her to favor us with the facility, we got a greater understanding of what God's purpose was for our ministry and why he led us there. Remember, we always had a heart for the community. Our kids grew up there, basically. I did a lot of my dirt there before I was saved. And I knew the makeup of the community. I knew they wasn't all bad people, criminals. Mm-hmm. I knew they had been disenfranchised, stigmatized, and looked down upon. And I knew a lot of it was a lie that the enemy had just promoted and perpetrated. So once we got there and started, you know, the ministry, we probably the first week, we knew God was setting us up to do something. And we were supposed to not just have a church service, but we were supposed to impact the community to the glory of God. We're supposed to expand the kingdom, expand the Garden of Eden. We're supposed to go and plant new seeds of hope and love and come against the spirit of stigma and all of that. And we did that eventually through an organization, a covert organization that we started. It's a ministry outreach we call Love Chapmantown Community Coalition. And it's a community coalition that's made up of everybody. You don't have to be part of a religion. anybody that has an ounce of love or an ounce of justice in them, you can be a part of the community coalition. And we understand this. We understand the word says, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify God. And that's what I do.
That's right.
And I understand God loves people. So we invite people to be a part of that organization as it relates to impacting the community for the positive. And we've done that. That community, when we came there, didn't have street lights. The whole community was in the dark. Through our efforts, through the Love Chapmantown Community Coalition and the elected officials, Larry Wall and others, we've got street lights in that community. Got the best one, the LED lights. So we've done that. We've done community cleanup. So actually we're doing the sixth annual one in May the 14th, community cleanups, where we go throughout the whole community and with trucks and just cleaning up and have a staging area at Chapman Elementary where people, there's big dumpsters. And people just bring their stuff to keep the community beautified.
Wonderful.
Yeah. We do a Chapman Night Out, which is a big block party for the community. And everything is free, all the food and everything. And we do that at the Dorothy Johnson Center. That's the staging area. That's the little park area, too. And we have music. We have organizations tabling. It's about 300-400 people show up a year. So we're always doing stuff. What do we just raised $40,000 for Chapman Elementary School.
Significant.
For a new playground.
Yeah.
They had a playground that's been there since the 50s, the kindergartens. And some of the PTA members and the teachers came to our organization and told us about the problem. And we solved it. And the mission statement at Chapman, at Love Chapmantown is simple. Be a part of the solution. And we're planting seeds of hope and love in the community that we love. But it's just be a part of the solution. So those are some of the things we've done in the community since we've been there. Again, we went there with understanding that we're supposed to transform wherever we go. God's going to send you, you know, he's going to send you out and wants you to glorify him. And he said
that's
this
right.
in his word. He says, go. And as you go, these signs will follow those. He said, I'm working with you. I'll be working with you, confirming my word with miracle signs and wonders. He's going to always confirm his word. So again, we're a Bible teaching ministry.
Mm-hmm.
We're a church of all nations. We're not a black. People be like, oh, you're a black church. No, we're not a black church.
Hmm.
We're the church of Jesus Christ. We're his body of Christ. We're multiracial, multicultural, multigenerational. We're a church of all people.
A church that
love God and a church that loves people. We're multiracial. It's everybody. Again, my family is that makeup too. You know, we've been here for over 20 years. Our family's got Mexicans, Asians, whites, blacks. We got a little everything in our family. But I have understanding that God made all people. And he desires us to be in unity.
That's
he don't
right.
want us to be, you know, I tell people all the time, the most segregated day of the week in America is Sunday around 11 o'clock. It is. With our saved selves.
I never thought of that.
Yeah, it's a segregated day of America because the black church is over here, white church is over here, Spanish church is over here. Then you got the denominational and all that. And God said, no, that's not
funny.
In my word. I didn't tell you to do that.
No, he didn't.
That's you leaning to your own understanding doing that. I want you to be one as me. Jesus said, I want you guys to be one as me and the Father are one.
That's right.
And we can't seem to grasp that. We want to segregate ourselves. We want to separate ourselves. So you know what? We said earlier in the broadcast that we're spirits having a natural experience.
Good description.
We're spirits.
That's right.
And I believe that's the test. If we can get past the skin color issue, you know, we can get some glory. God can get a lot more glory. But people like yourself and myself and Andrew, there's a remnant of God's people who have understanding, that have understanding, and we know better. So, but now that we know better, we got to go and promote that. That's what's promoting the gospel. We got to say, well, God said he in his word, he's no respecter of persons. He said in Samuel,
that's
man
right.
looks at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart.
So true.
Ooh, that's what he says. So I understand that. You know, and we've been programmed, especially in this country, to judge people, size them up first by skin color. Then we go occupation. We do stuff. But
income.
Yeah, we go with the income.
Where do you live? What kind of a car do you drive?
You
right,
we
right.
do all that. And God says, I ain't looking at none of that. Remember David? David was anointed at 12 to be king.
Yes.
He didn't look like king material. But God know the plan he had for David.
Yeah.
And he wasn't looking at David's countenance. He was looking at his heart. Actually, God said he's a man after my own heart.
Amazing.
Yeah. So that's what God wants. He wants us to have fellowship with him. And when we have genuine fellowship with God, he'll, like he said, through his Holy Spirit that lives inside of us,
right.
you get that when you get
right.
born again. And you can be filled with that. He said, I'll start revealing the deep things to you.
Yeah.
I'll reveal some stuff to you. I'll let you know. The scripture says in Colossians, all the mystery, the treasures, the mysteries and the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in both God and Jesus. He said, I got all the, they're hidden in me. And if they're hidden in me, you got to come after me, seek after me and find them. And I'll reveal them once. I mean, we used to play hide and go seek when we were little.
Yes.
And once somebody finds you, you got to go ahead and reveal yourself. Okay, here I am. You don't keep hiding. They already say, well, I saw you right there, John.
Well, revealing is a very interesting part, and that's one of the things we often forget about David. You mentioned David, so I want to bring up that he is a man after God's own heart, and what he did is he wanted to become godlike, and so godlike, be righteous, that is to say,
righteous,
and he repented repeatedly, and that's one
that's
of
what
the
I
things.
Do.
Yeah, but we think about. David and how he sinned, but really what he did was he repented and he changed his life, and he still had the effects of sin, just like we have effects from the things that we did and wish we didn't do. So that's what we do. We repent, and that's why David is a man after God's own heart.
Right, because he understood God was a God of forgiveness.
Forgiveness is
he
right.
He forgives.
Yeah.
But like you say, we still have the consequences of our action.
Yep.
But I always tell people, this is one thing that don't change with God. He loves you.
Oh, amen to that,
brother. The Bible
brother.
Says in 1 John, God is love. It
yep.
says it like three times
yep.
in 1 John. I believe that's chapter 3 and 4. God is love. That's who he is.
Yes.
That's why the scripture says in John 3, God so loved the world. Well, he's love. That's all he has is love. Now, okay, he has correction too. Now, that's something different. Like I say, being responsible for your action, there's going to be some corrections got to be made. But he still loves you. And I'm a father. I have children. I've corrected them and with obedience, whippings or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I still love them.
Yes.
I did not love them.
That's right.
So, and that comes from God. We get that from him. That's our DNA. So he still loves us regardless of, you know, if we missed the mark. And he's really pleased with you. Like you just said, when you repent.
Right.
When you just go ahead and fess up. Yeah, Lord, yeah, I missed the mark on that one. You're having fellowship with him. You're not hiding. Like Adam and Eve, when they messed up, what did they do? They went and hid.
They did, yes.
They went and hid, and they covered themselves. And he said, who told you you were naked?
Right.
But they hid. And they's like, well, how are you going to hide from God, first of all?
Mm.
He's everywhere. Omnipresent, omniscient. He's everywhere. And that's what he's saying. Don't hide from me. I already know. I'm all-knowing. Remember we talked about earlier, he knows your heart. He knows what's in your heart. Jesus was like that. It's related to religious people. Scripture said Jesus knew what was in their heart. So we have to just understand that. Remember, Scripture says in Proverbs 4:7, and all you're getting, get understanding. So understand that God loves you, regardless.
That's right.
He loves all people. Now, he's not pleased with some of the things we do, but he still loves us because he is love. And he's like,
yes.
He says in his word, he says, I'm the potter and you're the clay. Stay in my hand. Let me keep molding you to perfection. I'll do that if you stay in my hand. But if the clay wants to jump out the potter's hand, it's going to be flawed. Well, we got a lot of crack pots out there. We're going to be flawed. But once we in the potter's hand, we stay there. He said in the New Testament, he says that which we've committed to him, he's able to keep. And also there's another scripture reference that says he will perfect those things that concern us. He also said he'll keep those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. And he also admonishes us, run with endurance the race that's set before you, looking unto Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith.
Right, yeah.
And another word for looking unto Jesus, the Bible says in Revelation, Jesus is the living word of God. So I got to keep looking to the word, because the word in the beginning was the word. The word was God. Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the word of God. So we got to keep looking to the scriptures. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly complete for every good work. Every good work is our purpose. It's what we're purposed for. Remember David. Go back to David. We'll be perfect, but we got to stay. Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. He said, unless you abide in me, you can't produce anything.
Right.
He said, without me, you can do nothing.
Nothing.
Basically,
right.
You need to stay connected to me in order to produce
the
good fruit, fruit of the Spirit. He said, and I always look at the natural. If I snap a branch off a tree trunk and put it even on the side of the tree, the branch is going to wither away. But if I keep it on, connected, and nurture that bad boy, let it feed off the vine, it's going to produce.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus said with us. He says, there's only one mediator between man and God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. So he said, abide in me and allow my words to abide in you. And you can ask for anything you desire as it relates to a godly lifestyle.
Godly, right. right.
You can't ask for anything you want, David. But anyway, you can. He says, I've given you all things that pertain to God, to godliness. So he's given us things, and the scripture says he's given us exceeding great and precious promises. Then the scripture says all his promises are yes and amen. So you got to stay connected to him so those promises will be revealed to you. As you're fellowshipping, making love to God through his word, he's going to start revealing intimate details to you, intimate things.
Yeah.
And I tell people all the time, I tell my wife's mom this. I say, mother-in-law, you knew my wife well before I did. And I'm only known her. You've known her for 40-something years. I've known her for 20-something years. But I know her better than you know her. And she said, well, no, you don't. I said, yes, I do, because me and her have an intimate relationship. You and her have a mother-daughter. I have a more intimate relationship with her. And that's what God says. I want to have an intimate relationship with people. That's the difference from religion and Christianity.
Well said.
Christianity, it's about relationship.
It ain't about
you know, a bunch of rules. Okay, do all these rules and pay this if you break the rules. No, Jesus is the sacrifice for sin. He paid it all. So now we can come boldly to the throne of grace in time of need because of the redemptive works at Calvary that he accomplished when he said, it is finished. It is finished. So, you know, we Christians, we got to get this understanding. And then we can, scripture says in Daniel, those who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. Yeah. You can't do great exploits if you got a condemned spirit. God doesn't condemn you. He convicts you. Conviction leaves your faith intact so you can continue the faith walk. Scripture says the just shall live by faith.
Yes, faith.
Yeah. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We walk by faith, not by sight. But you got to stay connected, and you can't let the spirit of condemnation kick in. Because condemnation destroys your faith. You can't do nothing condemned. God convicts you, and that conviction is back to correction. He correct you. That's the conviction, and you say, well, yeah, I missed the mark, God. Forgive me for that one. That's that still small voice you was talking about again. He going to tell you, now you know you messed up, Vince. Talk to Daddy about it. I don't go to everybody. I go right to Daddy.
Yep.
I can do that now that Jesus is the last sacrifice, the sacrifice for sin.
And so many people want to hear from God. They say, God, why don't you speak to me? What does it take to hear that voice of God, that still, quiet voice?
Well, I'm going to say one, there's just two ways you can hear from God. And I tell people all this time, when the last time you heard from God? A lot of people's like, what do you mean? I ain't heard from him in a long time. Well, you haven't read the scriptures. Because God and his word are like wet and water. They're one. So you can hear from God, you know, from reading his word, especially when you saved or want to get saved. If you ain't saved, it's kind of going to be a little hard because you're not in a family. Now, you're God's creation, but you're not God's child. Scripture says in John 3, as many as received him, John 1, many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. So you got to receive Jesus in order to get grafted into the family. And now you can really hear from God. So first thing I'm saying, get saved, be saved. And salvation is only through Jesus Christ. You can't go any other direction. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Allah, not all the. It's Jesus Christ, Yahshua, the Messiah. Only way. There's only one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus. Because I believe the Bible, and that's what the Bible says. So you got to do that first. And then, you know, you can. And again, if you ain't saved, you'll hear his voice in his word as you can hear his voice as it relates to getting saved. Because that's all he's going to talk to you about, because he wants you to believe on the name of Jesus. Scripture says, you know, this is the commandment that we believe on the name of Jesus and believe the one that God sent for propitiation for sin, which is Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the light. I am the door. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. So you got to go that direction. And now, and then you set yourself up to hear it. And then you hear him through his word. He'll speak to you. That's revelation knowledge. You'll go from information to revelation. And I tell people, most of the revelation is in the Bible is in between the black and the white. When I'm studying the scripture, I'm seeing stuff in between the words, understanding, revelation. So you could hear God that way, and I hear him that way a lot as I'm studying the word because I'm fellowshipping with him because him and his word are one. Remember, in the beginning was the word. The word was God. Word was God. The word became flesh. So it'll become flesh in you as you start fellowshipping with it. And then there's those times when you're meditating on the word of God. Oh, man, when you're meditating on God because you're pondering, you're just thinking about him. And I always give the example. Remember when I was in college and I had a girlfriend, a sweetheart, and I was in Chicago, she was in California. She would write me these love letters. Ooh, when I read those letters, all I heard was her voice, her sweet voice. Well, God, his Bible, that word of God is a love letter to people, especially to those who receive. So we hear his voice as we're reading his word, studying his word, fellowshipping, communing with him, supping with him through his word, and reading it, but meditating on it, he'll start. You'll hear it too, because he'll start revealing deep things to you as you're meditating. He said in Psalms 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law or his word does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of living waters, that shall not wither, who bring forth his fruit in the season, and whatsoever thing he does shall prosper. Then he says in Joshua 1, he told Joshua the same thing. This book of the law, referring to the word of God, shall not depart from you, but you shall meditate on it day and night and observe to do all that's written in it, and then you'll make your way prosperous. You have good success. In Philippians, he says, meditate on these things, whatever things are good, praiseworthy, lovely, of a good report. Think. So when I'm thinking about the goodness of the Lord or what he said in his word, I'm going to start hearing from him. I'm here. Yes. And then here's another one. And because we... Remember, you got to get saved first. You get saved, his Holy Spirit comes to live in you. That gives you access to hear his voice, the Holy Spirit. It's like an AM and FM receiver. You know, when you're unsaved, you just got an AM. When you get saved, you got an FM now. So you can pick up on AM earthly frequencies, FM heavenly frequencies. So you can pick up on both of them. So now you can hear from God. You can hear from heaven when you get born again. And then the other one is, that still small voice. I believe he talks about that in 1st or 2nd Kings. The still small voice. Like I heard. And I heard it when God first encountered me. And then I hear it a lot. But most powerful when I was driving through Chapmantown and I heard nobody in the vehicle with me. And I heard, there's your building right there. It was just a quill. It was a confident. It was a loving voice. And it was like 100%. It was pure. It was like something I couldn't deny. And I knew it because he said it. I heard it. It's kind of hard to explain, but it was small. It wasn't like, you know, the devil gets loud when he's trying to talk. God doesn't have to. He's like, there's your building. Yeah. I looked over. That was this building. And I got to tell you about the building, too. The building, remember the guy at the Holiday Inn wanted to give us a little box for $100 a month.
Oh, yeah.
We got a 2,100 square feet building with a full kitchen, 2 bathrooms, males and female, the auditorium side with a stage, storage rooms, and a parking lot. We got a real, what they would call church building.
Church building, yeah.
Yeah. And the scripture said in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask, think, or even imagine. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. God just, he confirms his word with miracles. That's a miracle. And we've been there for 6 years now. And we're still moving forward and acknowledging God, we're teaching God's people about the kingdom of God, the kingdom culture, not religion. That's what the Pharisees was teaching. And Jesus came, open your Bible, look in Mark chapter 1, verse 14. That's the New Testament. That's what we are. It says, actually, those are the Gospels. It says, in the fullness of time, Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Mm-hmm. He said, the kingdom of God, the same kingdom that was prophesied in Isaiah 9:6, unto him a government shall be upon his shoulder. And the increase of that government or kingdom, there should be no end. That's why the Bible says we're ambassadors for Christ. Well, an ambassador represents another nation. Yes. We represent the nation from heaven.
That's right.
That's who we are. Remember, we're spiritual beings having a natural experience. We represent heaven and heaven's government. And that heaven's government is perfect. and there's only, there's not a, you, there's no elections.
Right.
It's a dictatorship.
Right,
Jesus
right.
is King of Kings, Lord forever. You can't vote him in, you can't vote him out.
A loving dictatorship.
Yeah, that's what I tell people. You got, especially saints, you got to learn where you are, what you have in Christ Jesus. You're now in the kingdom now. And Jesus is the king of that kingdom. He's our Lord. He's the Lord. He's the great shepherd. And we submit to him.
Yes,
so whatever he says is law.
That's right.
That's why you say the word, this book of the law. My word, that's my law. The Bible is our constitution. It's our constitution.
It's a good way to look at it.
It is. It's the owner's manual. It's the handbook. That's it. Remember? Back to 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Yeah.
And it is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, us teaching, for reproof, for correction. Oh, we need it for correction.
Yeah, we do.
Then he summed it up and said, for instruction in righteousness. Well, once you get born again, you're now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you need
his
some instruction.
Yeah,
you need some instruction in his righteousness. And he said that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly complete for every good work, for their kingdom assignment here on earth as it is in heaven. We all have an assignment. I was telling you when I first met you, and you introduced yourself to me, and you told me what you did previously, and you told me where you were now. I said, well, you're on your new assignment, huh?
That's right.
You're reporting to duty, huh? Okay. All right, soldier. Welcome.
That is what I see myself as, a soldier in Christ's army.
Well, we all are. Yeah. But and once you learn what your new assignment is, because assignments can sometimes change.
Sure.
You know, once you learn what your assignment is, you get in and you submit and be obedient to the king that assigned you.
Amen.
Jesus is your Lord. He told you. His Holy Spirit leads and guides you. His word directs you. You just submit to that.
Thank you, Vince. We're going to take one more little break. It's almost the end of the show, but our commercial sponsors would like one more break, so we're going to take it.
Okay.
Listeners, we'll be right back.
We just John, I'm having a great time.
I am too. I like how you talk.
Did you pause it?
Testing.
No, I just let it run.
Oh,
and then Andrew hears.
Okay.
Here's the pause.
So he goes through it. You sure you don't want to pause it?
I haven't done it in the past.
Oh, okay. I don't want to mess up your show, but on mine I just hit the two red ones.
Well, that resets the clock.
Oh, okay. Don't do that then. No, don't do that. Does it? No, I don't think not the two red ones, the yellow one. It doesn't. I don't know. On my show, it doesn't.
I'll have to ask about that one. Let's go back on the air.
Okay.
Listeners, welcome back to Christ Today on KKXX. We're here with Vince Haney. You are having a great interview, and we're talking about the best part of life, which is Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus is the reason for the season. And there's four seasons. He's still the reason for every season. Scripture says, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. So there's four seasons in a year, and he's still the reason for the season. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But yeah, but back to the ministry. The ministry is called Rhema Word of Faith Empowerment Ministries, a.k.a. The Word Church. God gave my wife again. He spoke to my wife about the name of the church. He told us when we started that we're to call it Rhema Word of Faith. And at the time, I don't know. Well, I believe I knew what Rhema meant.
I know what it means now. I know what Logos. There's Logos of God's word, and there's Rhema.
Logos is information, the written word of God. That's why Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But Rhema is God when he speaks directly to your spirit, and you know it's him. Again, that's still a small voice, and you was asking about that earlier. That's what Rhema is. Meaning, I heard from God. I got a rhema word. God spoke directly to my spirit. Mm-hmm. That's what he did with Peter when he told Peter, when Jesus was walking on the water and Peter was in the boat with the other doubters. And I'm
That's
joking.
Right.
And Peter, they looked out and they thought it was a ghost. And Jesus said, no, it's I. And Jesus was walking on the water. And Peter said, well, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out too. Okay, Peter started to operate by faith. Peter started to realize, remember, we're spirits having a natural experience.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus demonstrated that all the time. That's what he was doing. How else can you walk on some water? You got to be a spirit.
Be a spirit.
Yeah. But Jesus knew how to operate in both realms. He had that. He had that down packed. Yeah, that's why he came to teach us about what we can do. We can pull heaven down to earth. But anyway, Peter said, "Lord, if that be you, bid me to come out to and walk too." Jesus said, "Okay, come." And Peter got out there and was walking. And we understand.
The Bible says, and he looked, he started using his senses. He got out of faith and started using his senses. He looked at the waves and he heard the wind boisterous. He started leaning to his senses now, because we walk by faith, not by senses, sight. He started looking at what was around him, and then scripture say he began to sink. Now, you got to really focus on that word begin, because if I go out and step out of a boat on water, I'm not going to begin to sink. I'm going to sink. You don't begin to sink. You walk in. Yeah. But he began to sink. So he was walking, and then he just beginning to sink. But he still didn't drown. We know that, because our Lord and Savior loves us. He loves us so much, even when we fall, scripture said a righteous man falls seven times. Because God reaches his hand out and lifts them up. And he told us to be the same way. Remember, he said, if anyone among you stumble, you who are mature, you lift them up. But we don't do that in the church today, man. You fall, John, we're going to beat you up. We ain't going to do it at the word church, but that's what religious people
often
do.
Often enough that happens, right.
Yeah. Instead of them doing, remember, man should not live by bread alone, but every word. That's the word says, if one of you stumble, you who are spiritual, go lift them up. We understand that at the word church, and that's what we do. I lift people in our congregation because they're baby Christians. How many times is a baby going to poop on themselves?
Years.
And you're going to have to clean it up.
That's right.
You're going to have to clean
it
up.
That's right.
So you got to realize, remember I said when I'm 16 years old in Christ. So when I was 1 year old, 2 year old, just like in a natural baby, you bring them in the hospital, they don't know how to do anything. You got to teach them everything.
That's right.
That's why we're a Bible teacher ministry. They're going to poop on themselves, and it's normal.
Vince, we just have a moment left. Is there something that you'd like to say or perhaps pray to close this session?
What would you like?
We better pray.
We better pray. So, Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to testify of your goodness. Through all the wonderful listeners, and I just pray that the words that that were released here set someone free, that they get a revelation, and I just pray that your countenance would be upon them, and just bless all the listeners, and thank you, John, for allowing me to be on your broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's a pleasure. This was very nice. It's all that needs to be said, and we need to hear it, so it's very good. Thank you very much, Vince Haney, and for anyone who would like to listen to Chico now, please do. Thank you for listening to Christ Today.
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today.
Are you on the run and need your vehicle to be in top condition? Avoid unexpected breakdowns. Come see Lions Express Lube and Oil. Get peace of mind with fast, reliable services. Do you have a maintenance check light on? Lions Express Lube and Oil, locally owned for the last 26 years, can reset that light on most foreign and domestic vehicles and RVs. With all the pollen, mold, and mildew in the air coming into your vehicle, let us check your cabin filter. Yes, Some vehicles have cabin filters, and we can clean up your air. Lions Express Lube and Oil at 5605 Almond Street in Paradise, on the corner of Birch and Almond. Our number is 872-8583. 872-8583. We love to see you.